Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the interview queen, Alicia Too.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw, and the face of Impact Wrestling, Sammy Callahan.
The one and only shot with Thunder Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, a.k.a. Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening to...
You are listening to...
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious. Hey, yeah.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Fox.
How's it going, man?
I'm very well, you?
Yeah, it's been ages, actually. I think I've done one show since Christmas, so it's good to get back on the interview crack as well, because it's been a while. So, yeah, happy as you can be in circumstances that are, when there's fuck all wrestling on going on anywhere. It's good to be back on, you know, it's good to be cracking on and having a bit of chat about it at the very least.
Yeah, it's been a bit weird working from home. It took me a couple of days to get used to it. And the only place my laptop works is in the front room, which is the telly, so I have to sit there with the kids and try to do work, which is fun.
Don't rub it in, you know.
All right, and we're delighted to be joined by Shreddy Breck. How are you doing this evening, Shreddy?
Let's get Shreddy to rumble.
We'll just wreck the mic. Class, man.
Yeah, how are you doing this evening?
Yeah, I'm spot on, thanks.
How have you been? I think last time we spoke was August.
Months ago, was it?
It was August.
Yeah. August, yes, yeah, so about 9 months ago or something.
Jesus, that's a good seven or eight, something like that. It's getting on for it. I don't even know what month we're on. Yeah. How many months have we been in lockdown?
That's day three of lockdown for you. But no, everything's spot on, really, given the circumstances we're under.
How are you surviving lockdown?
What was that, sorry?
How have you been surviving lockdown?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, the gym's closing. Isn't ideal, but to be honest, that's the only massive thing that's affected me, really. Working from home, just as I know a lot of people are, but I usually work from home at least one day a week anyway. Sometimes, it's since January actually this year, I work remotely, typically 2 days a week. Then I'll work from home one day a week, so it's not really been a massive change in like businesses, like to me normal sort of working life anyway.
Oh, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the gym is the biggest impact on me and no wrestling. And, you know, I can't see wrestling coming back. This time a month ago, well, I was wrestling 3 weeks ago, so this time 3 weeks ago, it didn't look like wrestling was going away. But, yeah, the longer it's going on for, it looks like it's hard to imagine wrestling coming back anytime soon, to be honest.
Yeah, we're looking at the back end of the year, realistically, aren't we?
Yeah.
At least
have you set up in your house, like, Shred?
Yeah, so I've got... I don't know if I've got a picture of it somewhere on social media or not, but I've got like a decent setup. So I work from a MacBook for work anyway, but I've got my own like gaming PC in the house. So I've got a good little desk set up with all my Star Wars shit and pops and stuff surrounding that. So it's a good little setup, easy to work from home.
Brilliant. Good stuff.
Alright, so Shreddy has joined us to promote cheap protein discounts code.uk. We'll come on to a bit of come on to that a bit later, but so what came first? Was it the bodybuilding side of your career, or did you get into wrestling first?
So for me, it was the bodybuilding that came first, but the bodybuilding came about because of wrestling. I don't know if we touched on this last time we did the podcast or not, but it's probably something that not many people know, unless, you know, they know me actually in real life or mates and things like that. I started in the gym when I was like a teen. Well, I started lifting weights from home, which is ironic given what I'm having to do at the minute, when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And that was purely because of wrestling. So wrestling, I can't remember a time in my life without wrestling, because I had two older brothers. So when I was like a little kid, like a toddler, wrestling was always on in the house or in the background. I got like bang into it when I was like 7-ish year olds, so it'll be at 97, towards the end of 97, is kind of when I really started getting into it myself, and then playing the games and stuff, which kind of kept me more interested in it as well on the PS1, Warzone and Attitude and the SmackDown games. So as a teenager, I started lifting weights. My brother had a dumbbell set, so I started lifting weights because of wrestling, and then joined the gym because, I wanted to be like a wrestler. And then kind of fell into the bodybuilding through reading online and researching about diet, how to lift, you know, how to put muscle on, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of like opened me up to the world of bodybuilding. And then, yeah, started competing in bodybuilding when I was 22, I think. Wow. 2013 was my first bodybuilding show. But I actually did a little bit of wrestling training when I was 15-year-old. Didn't last more than two sessions because my mum and dad banned me from going back to us.
Yeah.
And then did a little bit more wrestling training when I was 20, but that didn't last because the training place closed down. So yeah, the bodybuilding, even though I was like lifting weights anyway and going to the gym, actual competitive bodybuilding started when I was 22, and then started wrestling training probably when I was 26.
Okay. When you said you were inspired, obviously, by wrestlers and things that got, you know, that's what got you into the idea of starting to lift and stuff.
Yeah.
Was there any particular wrestlers that you thought, yes, that's kind of how I want to look? Was there a particular person, or was it just like amalgamation of everything wrestling? Or was it particular people?
I think it was kind of when I was younger, it was just being like, just watching wrestling. I kind of, when I was a little kid, I kind of didn't appreciate, like, I don't know, my favourite when I was a kid was The Rock, Foley, Triple H, Kane, Undertaker, Austin, like all the big stars back then. I hated Kurt Angle as a kid. Hated him. But like Kurt Angle's one of my favourite wrestlers like ever. Do you know what I mean? I look back now and watch him like,
oh, he was a beast. He's so good. So, like, yeah. For me, he's so underrated as a kind of, like, his general act and his crack. I know people do, you know, rate him highly, sorry, so he's not underrated. But I think if you go back and watch it, he surprises you how good he was when he was at the same time as The Rock and Austin, you know what I mean?
He was just absolutely unreal. But, so, yeah, like, I had favourites when I was a kid. Like, The Rock's probably his favourite of all time. Just because when I was a kid, he was, like, sort of my guy kind of thing. Foley, obviously not the best example in terms of like a physique or a body guy, but Foley was like one of my favourites when I was a kid. But just seeing like wrestlers like Triple H and, you know, even Austin, like when I was a kid, I kind of didn't look at Austin as, oh, he's got a good physique because I was just a kid, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I think it was just being conditioned to like how these guys look. Yeah. They're all jacked up guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think from a little kid, I was kind of like that. But then when I was like a teenager, you know, the big stars when I was a teenager was Batista and Cena. Those were like kind of major stars. Mm-hmm. The Rock had left by this point. Austin had left. Lesnar had kind of left. But Lesnar was like a massive guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like Cena was carrying Raw. Batista was kind of carrying SmackDown. And there's two guys with like absolutely mint physiques. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, monsters, really. When you look over there.
Look at that Steiner, like when he came. So I wasn't a massive WCW fan when I was a kid, purely because I couldn't get it. My exposure to WCW was on Channel 5. They used to do like an hour, I think it was called WCW Worldwide.
That's right, Crash Bang Wallop with all the Batman. Did you ever see any of that stuff when it was on WCW on Channel 5? I'm sure it was on the Channel 5 one, when they used to, you know, hit each other with a move or a chair or whatever, a graphic would appear, like, you know, the old Batman
like
things were.
Batman, I don't
do you know?
It would, like, my brother would be like, I don't know, my brother first told me, because my brothers are a lot older than me, but he would be like, oh, Hulk Hogan's still wrestling? I seen him on Channel 5 the other day, and we were like, what? And then, like, we'd put Channel 5, and then it's like, oh, WCW, what's this? So, yeah, that was kind of my exposure, like, WCW as a kid. And then when the invasion happened, like, as a kid, I thought, oh, the invasion, this is awesome. This is absolutely unreal. Looking back now at what it could have been, it's like, oh, well, that was a bit shit, wasn't it? But as a kid, you kind of just, you don't know any difference. So you're seeing these stars coming, it was just like, but, like, as a kid, I loved it.
Yeah.
But obviously, looking back now, much better it could have been. But then when these stars started coming in, when I was, like, an early teenager, and, like, I could go online and watch, like, you know, watch clips of wrestling, especially when YouTube kind of became a bit more popular. That's where I could go back as well and watch some of these things. So I remember when Cena came in, like in 2003, I think. Was it late 2002, 2003? There again, him and Triple H, their feud, like, I know a lot of people shit over it and, you know, for whatever reason they do, which is valid. But the stuff that they did was obviously like physique versus physique almost, so... Again, I'll have been, 12, 13, 14 maybe, around that age when that was going on.
It's physique versus physique.
Guys watching wrestling, seeing these wrestlers, kind of just get conditioned to that look.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, physique versus physique, and you had that amazing ego versus ego that was part of it as well. Like, yeah, exactly. They could both just talk the talk as well as being monsters, yeah. Which is class.
So I suppose as a teenager, that's kind of like, I don't know, I just got into lifting because, I watch wrestling, I want to look like a wrestler. Like,
yeah.
I know it's probably a bit taboo to say, but Benoit, for me, was someone I always looked at. Because I kind of like looked at him, he used to get billed at like 5'9", 5'10". Like my shoe height is 5'10",
yeah.
So I'd think like, he's kind of similar height to me. I want to look like him. So yeah, there's like just loads of different inspirations like that. But I think it was just a general kind of like being exposed to wrestling, watching so much wrestling. It's kind of I want to look like these guys.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean,
the bodybuilding, and it's just a complete like a whole other level.
It's a world I've never really been like exposed. I've seen things. I've watched different documentaries, you know, the obvious famous ones, you know, Pumping Iron, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen certain things, more recently, some of the bits that you've posted in pictures and things like that over the years.
Yeah.
Especially over the last year or so, that you posted a few pictures of when you used to have slightly shorter hair, shall we say.
Yeah.
When you're a bit younger.
2014, so yeah, that would have been some of the early shows that I did where I was competing and I'm tanned up and on stage and things like that. So, but funny enough, before this corona stuff kicked off, I was actually prepping for a bodybuilding show. So I'd started my prep for that in January, earlier this year.
Right.
It would have been 5 weeks this Sunday coming. I don't know when this is going to go out, but it would have been at the first weekend of May, the bodybuilding show. And obviously corona's just knocked all that stuff on the head as well. But
yeah, that's not just.
Yeah. So I still like, I mean, I didn't grow up as a kid as a fan of bodybuilding. I grew up as a kid as a fan of wrestling. And then wrestling got me into the gym, and then from that kind of fell into the bodybuilding world and was competing in bodybuilding, and you know, that's just the lifestyle for me now, like lifting and eating the way I do and training, etc., etc.
So you mentioned you did do a bit of training when you were a teenager, so what actually got you, prompted you to don the tights and get into the ring like a more full-time basis?
So it's something I wanted to do since I was a kid, and I remember, so I've got a big family. I'm like the second youngest in my family. I'm like one of seven kids.
Wow.
So I remember when I was like a little kid watching wrestling, it was like come to birthdays, like Christmases, and like I'd write down what I want for birthdays and Christmas presents and things like that. And my older sisters would be like, I always wanted wrestling figures, Pokemon cards, computer games, things like that. My sisters were like, no, we're not getting your wrestling figures, Whenever I'd say I want to be a wrestler, they'd call me stupid and they'd make fun of me, blah, blah, blah. And it's just one of those things, like since I was a kid, I want to do it. I want to do wrestling.
Yeah.
But like I say, when I was 15, still in school, found some wrestling training in Middlesbrough, it's like close to where I live. Did that after 2 weeks. My mum and dad put a stop to that because it was getting home late on a Monday,
yeah,
and night on school, and like getting home at midnight. So that just didn't work out. It was hard as well then, like going back to what, 2005. The internet wasn't what it was now. There's no social media. It was hard to find like wrestling training back then.
Yeah.
So when I was in uni and I was a bit more independent, I thought, right, I'm going to go wrestling training. So I found a place, stuck with that for a couple of months again. It was in Middlesbrough. But the training just kind of stopped. And then I was like, right, that's twice I've tried and it's kind of not meant to be. But I think it was just one of those things that, I know, like, there's certain things you like. You know, some people like, I don't know, football or boxer or whatever it is, and they grow up and they're, I want to be this, I want to be that. Like, for me, it was just, loved wrestling. Tried to get into it when I was a bit younger, couldn't find the training. So it wasn't until I was an adult, 26, I went to a show in Hartlepool, it was an NGW show, found out that they did training, like about 40 minutes away from where I live, like Rampage Brown's training, and started going there and just stuck with it since.
Oh, wow.
People speak very highly of his training facility as well, as in terms of his what he offers.
I say this all the time online, and I say it to anyone who I come across, like at shows and things like that, who don't train with Rampage but kind of live in the Northeast. Not to knock any other training schools anywhere in the Northeast or anywhere in the country, but especially if you live in the Northeast, if you're serious about becoming a wrestler and you have aspirations to want to wrestle to earn a living, or you know, to your income, or you know, your sole career is, if your goal is to become a professional wrestler, a full-time professional wrestler, and you're not training with Rampage Brown, then you honestly, in my opinion, I think you're just kidding yourself, and you're just kind of, I don't know, you're just kind of wasting your time. And that's not at all a knock on any of the other places, because there's nothing wrong with training with Rampage Brown and then topping your training up with other sessions in other schools, you know, for more ring time and, you know, to get in front of like other people. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But if you've got the access to Rampage Brown and you don't train there, even once a month, you know, because I know some people don't drive, so they'll go to somewhere that's close to them or whatever it might be. But the wrestling community is quite close-knit. So if you know someone, especially in the Northeast, you can kind of like blag a lift off someone or jump in with someone and someone knows someone everywhere kind of thing. I just genuinely, if you're serious about wrestling and it's not just, oh, I fancy like having a, you know, a bit of a laugh doing wrestling, that's fine. If your goal isn't to become a, if you don't have a serious goal to become a wrestler and you're just doing it for a bit of a hobby or a bit of a laugh, then that's fine. Like, you know, you don't have to get into wrestling to want to become a full-time wrestler. But if you do want that and you don't take advantage of Rampage Brown's training at the NGW school, then you're kind of just kidding yourself, I think.
You can't get much of a higher review and reference than that, can you, really?
So what's
it's just meant that, like, you know, he's known worldwide, he's been worked with WWE, he's probably the most respected wrestler in Britain by wrestlers. If you look at the Rampage training camps that they offer, like the accolades and the testimonials he's got from, you know, world-class wrestlers there, it speaks for itself. You don't need someone like me saying how good he is, because there's people who are a lot more successful and a lot more famous than me saying that, you know, go and train with him, basically.
Meant.
Cool. So take us back to your first match. What do you remember about in hindsight? What's your opinion on it? Was it good? Did you like go back and watch it? Or?
So I typically, whenever I wrestle, I'll always watch my match back. Like, you know, when it gets posted online or if I've got footage from that night, I'll always watch it back because, you know, you learn from that. But it's quite rare that I'll go back and watch like a match from, you know, X number of weeks or months or shows ago or anything like that. My first match, though, was actually at Rise. It was a tag team match. I can't remember much of it. It was against Joe Vega and Darwin at Rise, a tag match. We done a couple of angles, like kind of leading up to the match. So I was kind of a character on the show, and I was known on the show before wrestling. But that was my first ever like match on a show.
All right. Yeah, cool.
Did they put you over as like, were you, I'm guessing you were a big lad as well at the time when you were wrestling, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this was really 2017, so it's like, ever since I've started wrestling, I've kind of had, you know, the physique and the size and stuff like that. So, yeah, I've always kind of had that as part of the character. Yeah, it was a tag match. Watching it back, I can't honestly tell you, don't remember, like, a massive deal about the match. The guys I was working with, though, made it super easy. You know, they knew it was my first match. It was a good crowd. It was in Temple of Boom for Rise. But, yeah, it was just a fair, like, it was just obviously a basic match. If I watched it back now, I'd probably just watch it back and think I was rotten because it was but, yeah, I mean, I remember at the time I was happy, you know. The guys made it super easy for me to work with.
Cool, man.
Cool. So how did you come up with the Shreddy Breck nickname?
So it came about because, so before I got into wrestling, I was doing like my YouTube videos about like bodybuilding and workouts and all that kind of stuff. But the name itself came about, one of my mates from uni, who I was actually working with at the time, he was always asking me for like advice about, oh, what should I be eating or lifting and just general gym, like diet kind of advice. I'd tell him something. Then he would, weeks later, bring something up to me that he'd watched on YouTube, and it'd be the same advice I'd give him like weeks prior.
Yeah.
And it got to the, because I didn't really, so this was before I created my own YouTube channel. And I was like, why have you not listened to me? Why has it took you finding this information on YouTube before you've like kind of validated it, before you've believed it? He was like, oh yeah, I know, blah, blah, blah. I was like, right, who are these people that you're watching? So he showed me them. And I was like, these look like shit. Like, these people that you listen to look like absolute crap. Like, why are you listening to them over listening to someone that you actually know in real life? And you've seen, you know, not that I looked amazing or anything, but like you've seen me go from a guy who's not big and strong or a bit overweight or whatever it was to actually making this progress in the gym. Like, what I'm doing works, so just listen to me kind of thing, rather than taking the same advice but weeks later from a random person you don't know. So at the time, I was eating loads of like ready break and porridge because, you know, that's just what I was eating. It was part of the diet plan, and put size on, good carbs. So I was like, right. And I started just as a bit of a joke. And I was like, right, I'm going to create a YouTube. I'm going to call it Shreddy Breck because I'll get you shredded. And I like ready break. And that was it. And then it was doing these videos for, I can't remember when I set the YouTube up, but it was a while before I even started wrestling training. And then it was Rory Coyle, who was training with like Rampage at the same place, Rampages. Yeah. He came across some of the videos that I was doing, not obviously nothing wrestling related, but this is after I'd been training for a few months, and he was like, "Oh, it's like, yeah, I like your videos, things like that." And then we just kind of like made the transition from the YouTube thing to, all right, this is who I am as a wrestler.
Amazing.
And the line, like, quite often I get to, like, the line between Adam and the line between Shreddy Breck is almost non-existent.
Yeah. I can attest to that from, like,
being... that's because it ain't no giving it to lifestyle.
Damn right, man. Damn right.
This is Benji from the Land of Gentry, and if you've got any class, you'd be listening to Broken But Glorious.
So as we mentioned earlier, you're here to promote Cheap Protein, discodecodes.co.uk. So
yes, that's something I set up as well again for a couple, well, years and years ago now. Because that's what I do, like, as in my shoot job, so I work in, like, marketing.
Yeah.
Loads of people, big misconception, loads of people just assume I'm a personal trainer. But, you know, I've done boot camps, I've done personal training in the past, but kind of my career, shoot career, is in marketing and digital marketing. So that's a website I set up in, can't remember now, but it was a while ago. And yeah, that's just one of the things I've done, along with like a Shreddy Breck blog and the YouTube, kind of tied it all together, which was just kind of giving me extra content to create on the Shreddy Breck YouTube, like different supplement reviews, and from off the back of that, mm-hmm. started working with some of like the protein like retailers, offering discount codes and reviews of the products and things like that as well.
So talk us through like a typical week of training for you then.
Yeah, so a typical week of training would be usually anywhere between five or six, to be honest.
Yeah.
Weight sessions a week, about five on average. Wrestling training on a Tuesday night. Gym sessions would vary a little bit depending on shows. If I was doing extra wrestling training, if I was traveling for shows, I couldn't get to a gym, things like that.
Yeah.
But I'd say like an average kind of, number of days spent in the gym would be like 5 days wait. Sometimes it would be four, sometimes it would be six, just depending on schedule and things like that. Training, weekly, up at Rampage Brown's on a Tuesday night, and then bookings, you know, depending on what I've got that weekend, but you're looking typically at like a Friday, Saturday or a Sunday for wrestling shows.
So how does protein help with to build muscle then, if we do the bit of the science?
So protein's kind of the, I'd say cliche to say, we'll take the building block of muscle. A lot of people, this is where they fall down when they're trying to get in shape, whether it's building muscle or, you know, losing fat, whatever. They'll get to the gym and think it's enough, but it's diet is like massively important. Some people say it's more important than training. I wouldn't say it's more important. I'd say it's kind of equally as important. You can't really disregard one and expect good results. But yeah, protein is what builds the muscle. So when you're in the gym, you lift weights or any kind of resistance training, that tears the muscle down, that damages the muscle. You take protein in, protein is what repairs the muscle. So in order to gain strength or to build muscle size,
yeah,
you need to train, which breaks the muscle down. You make sure that you're eating enough protein along with, you know, the carbs and fat. If you want to put muscle on, you need to be in a calorie surplus. If you want to lose body weight, you need to be in a calorie deficit. But assuming that you want to put muscle on, you need to be eating enough calories. Make sure that you're eating enough protein so that the protein rebuilds the muscle tissue. That grows back stronger. It will help it grow, like help develop the muscle, help it grow bigger. And then you train again. So again, the mistake that people make is they'll go to the gym every day with the first start and they're not giving themselves enough time to recover.
Yeah.
You do the damage in the gym, but the growth happens outside of the gym, and that's through a combination of rest, to allow the muscles to grow back and recover, and through a combination of eating, you know, the correct kind of diets, and you need to eat a high protein diet in order to build that muscle.
No, I was just going to say, so in regards to that then, let's pretend the virus isn't here and things are just a normal week. What's your normal sort of weekly sort of general diet and your weekly gym plan? How does it look?
So like I say, typically on average, weight would be 5 days a week. So at the minute, since like January, I've been prepping for what was going to be a bodybuilding show. So the idea of that is to actually like lose body fat, maintain the muscle size that I've built while dropping the body fat. So the workout plan I've been following is push-pull legs. So that's 3 days. So you have 1 day dedicated to push movements, 1 day dedicated to pull movements, 1 day dedicated to leg movements. Then I add in a fourth day, which is, for me, I kind of feel like my shoulders and arms lag behind the rest of my body. So I add in a second, another session that allows me to hit shoulders and triceps twice that week. So that's typically my workout routine, push-pull legs, with kind of an extra push day in there, but it's shoulders and triceps focused as opposed to also chest as well. That's kind of the 4 days that I've, like the 4 day split that I've got. How many workouts I get in that week depends on the schedule with wrestling as well. I try not to let the gym affect wrestling like negatively, so I don't want to be missing wrestling training, or you know, I don't want to be missing shows and things like that. At the expense of going to the gym. So some weeks, like I say, I'll maybe get 6 workouts in. Some weeks there might just be the 4, depending on rest days and depending on if I can get to the gym because I'm wrestling or not. In the past, when I was just bodybuilding and wasn't wrestling, I'd be in the gym without fail 6 days a week, especially if I was getting ready for a show. My plan would be a little bit different. I would do like chest and biceps on 1 day, back and triceps on another day, legs and shoulders on another day, and then repeat that process again. So I've got 6 days in a week. Diet since January has been fairly consistent. So I go by macros, which is macronutrients, carbs, protein, fats. I track them, which totals your amount of calories that you need. I've been in a deficit to obviously lose weight. So my cut this year, I started at about 223 pounds, got down to, before this corona stuff kicked off, I was like down to 206, so what's that, 17-ish pounds I'd lost since January. My diet's pretty simple. I'll have typically 5 to 6 meals a day, which also include shakes. My main kind of meals is some kind of meat with rice, or chicken and rice is the most common one. Sometimes I'll have like beef mince or steak. Rice is my main carb source. Then I'll have protein shakes, cereal and porridge oats, and that's pretty much it.
Do you crave naughty stuff? Like, do you crave, me, when I was losing a bit of weight, I'm obviously to much different level of trying to lose weight than you are. You know what I mean? Yeah. In terms of what I do it for, and whenever I do anything like that, and trying, you know, I tried on the macros thing, but it didn't really make sense because I wasn't doing the same amount of stuff that you do, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So it was more like I do a bit of boxing. And so it was more like just like trying to look at general calorie intake reduce that and just try and balance what I can out as much as I can between carbs and protein, less fat.
That's what I would recommend people do. And if you're not kind of getting ready for some kind of physique based event, so bodybuilding or, I don't know, model or whatever it might be, or if you're not like an athlete training for specific like events and things like that, if you kind of just want, you know, if you're a casual gym goer, or maybe you don't even go to the gym, we just want to drop some weight and, you know, lose a bit of fat. You don't need to overcomplicate things with, oh, how much protein do I need, how much fat, how much fat. It's just a case of watching your calories, knowing how many calories you need to be eating and sticking to that. It's always good to get like a baseline of protein in. So for a male, about a gram per pound of body weight. Female can be slightly lower. So as long as you can kind of hit that just to maintain the muscle mass, the rest of your calories you can fill in with carbs or fats. It's as simple as that.
Okay, cool, man.
So if we go back to your site, how do the people use the discount codes on the site?
Oh, dead simple. So it's just literally, it's mainly geared around the website MyProtein, which I've used for years and years and years.
Yeah.
It's just a case of you go to the site, see what discounts are there, see what offers are there. Some of the, well, majority of them are exclusive to the site. You see which one will save you the most money, because depending on what your order is going to be, you click, there's like a green, like kind of voucher code or a green bar there. Click that, gives you the code, type that in at checkout, and then you save your money.
Brilliant. And that, brilliant. So that
simple
is cheapprotein.co.uk, which link will be in the description below the interview.
I'm the Breaker, Kyle Kingsley, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
So I've asked the North Wrestling Facebook fan group some questions. They came back. They came back mainly toilet roll based. So I'm guessing they're all in jokes.
So they're all assholes. That's why.
The shits.
Yeah, the absolute shits. So we've mentioned actually earlier, just to quickly, because we're on about now. We mentioned earlier about the first match I had, which was at Rise. The first kind of appearance I had on the show, though, was North. It was like a security kind of angle, right in the security there. So that was my first kind of experience working on a show and being in front of a crowd. And that was built up over the course of months and months and months until I had what was my second ever match.
Yeah.
After my first match at North, but again, I was like a regular on that show as well. Became a bit of a character before I actually wrestled my first match there, which was my second match of my career.
It's funny going back and watching old wrestling, like British wrestling DVDs, and looking at the security guys. You're like, oh, it's Tim. Sorry, we bought a load. My local promotion is Wrestle Island. Hopefully, you'll be there soon. I've badgered Peter about getting.
But I was meant. I've actually been given a date for Wrestle Island later this year. But obviously, Corona, you know, that's probably going to be cancelled and postponed. I should be down there. Hopefully, if wrestling doesn't get cancelled for life, hopefully I'll be down there before the end of the year.
We won't let it happen.
Yeah.
With the kids being off this week, we went back and watched like nearly every one. It's funny seeing all the wrestlers are like nearly main event level at Wrestle Island now, and they're just security guards like two years ago.
It's a way to get on the shows, you know, you go and show up, help out, do it like little bits that are needed on the show, and then, you know, as you progress and as you kind of get ready for shows and progress with your training and get more match ready then, it's like the natural progression kind of thing.
So there you go, kids, there's a tip for you. Next time you go to a wrestling show, get an autograph from the security guard.
It'll
be worth a friggin' fortune on eBay in 10 years.
Oh, what, no?
Security
guards. If you look at the yellow shirts there, which is like kind of the show security, those are all guys that are training at the new school with us. So, you know, they'll hopefully be on the shows eventually as well.
Sweet.
So the first question we had in was from Chris Kinlock. He said, how rich are you now that you hold all the toilet roll?
Modern-day million-dollar man of Brit Rest.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Daniel Griffin, I bought 24 bog rolls to the last North show to throw at Shreddy. Can I have some back, please?
what a fucking fool you were, right? Imagine all the money you've thrown at me. I've told North since day one, Shred lining his money, and now we're living it.
Damn right.
Ralph Foster asks, where's his belt?
Yes, that's Uncle Ralph. That's when I took the hardcore belt off him. I don't know where that is now. It's a trash belt. Rise is trash. I upgraded that for a banked number one contender title shot whenever I want.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Colin Barker, how's Brenda?
Oh, she's fine. Absolutely fine. She's still working. She's, you know, Corona hasn't affected Brenda.
Cool. Simple as that.
Still busy at work.
He also asks, are you chicken to face Lou Newton?
Lou Nixon. Do you want it?
Yeah, so Lou doesn't deserve a match with Shreddy. And it's as simple as that.
He reckons that'll be a main event of North Mania.
He doesn't deserve a match with Shreddy. That's North. And I'm keeping the door closed to not let him back in.
Just stand behind it. I'll do the trick, like. Just play the security guard again. You're not on the list, son.
So, yeah, just me and Lou, kind of when we debuted, it was as a tag team. And then Lou was, I can't think when it was. Was it December last year, the year before? I think it was the year before, no.
I think it was a while ago.
Yeah, 10 of them at like, North. And yeah, like he's just not been back at North since.
Scare him off.
Yeah,
it was one of those things. That I think we, myself, you, Lou, Bowers, and I'm trying to think, if there's anybody else there? We went on the radio, didn't we? We were on the radio.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we did.
Time.
I think it will have been Rory as well.
No, of course. Yeah, Rory was definitely there because he was scaring everybody with his belt and his videotapes and everything else. But yeah, I think you were together then.
Yeah,
and then, but I don't think it was for very long after that.
Yeah, I think it was like the December of, I think, I want to say 2018.
I think you might be right, yeah, I think it was that long ago.
Yeah.
Wow, man. It's a wild, Jesus, it's flown past, isn't it?
Oh, mental, yeah. It's like North can't, like I say, even though North was my second match, the stuff that like Bowers let me do before, you know, actually wrestling on the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Like,
yeah.
Just
he's a good lad.
To have the opportunity to kind of show the character side and kind of do bits while I was still, you know, getting ready to wrestle in matches. Because when I was first appearing on them North shows, I was, you know, I wasn't ready to be wrestling.
Yeah.
But there was like a spot for me to do, like these are the bits. And I'll always be grateful because it was that foot in the door at North and the stuff that Bowers allowed me to do before I could even wrestle. And the stuff he's allowed me to do since then, you know, it's just kept me, you know, kept me on the shores and always had something good to do.
Yeah, man.
Always grateful for that.
Brilliant.
Do you want to ask your questions, Mark?
Yeah, man. Well, I think I briefly mentioned them to you early on today, actually, Shred. So just a few just random ones because I like the, you know, I like the sort of just piss about really with my kind of questions, to be quite honest with you. So, start off with one of the most obvious questions that I have to ask anybody, regardless of whether it's a musician, a wrestler, whoever it is I'm asking.
Yeah.
If you could be any character in any video game, what video game would it be?
Well, I was
so, like, going in as Shreddy Breck the character, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, is this what game would I be a part of, or what character would I want to be?
So you'd be going into a computer game as Shreddy Breck, the Shreddy Breck that we know and love.
Yeah.
So you'd be going in there, you know, living the gimmick.
Yeah.
But you could pick any video game where you'd go in there. You might replace somebody in the game. You might be added to the game. But you basically choose the game that you'd be going into there as Shreddy Breck.
Well, let's say WWE 2K21, because it means I've got a contract, doesn't it? There we go.
Would you be glitching like every other character does in the Blizzard games?
To be honest, right, I'm not... So when I was younger, the SmackDown games were the game of the year for me. Like, every single year, funnily enough, I'd get ill on a Friday. every year without fail. And then that would be my weekend sorters. So I absolutely loved the games, literally from... It was from the Warzone on the PS1, was it the first wrestling game that like was mine. Then it was Attitude, and then it was the first SmackDown. So ever since then, you know, I was a regular, you know, getting those games. I think it was around 2K12, the one with Randy Orton on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2K12, might be 13, is when I kind of like... stop buying them every year, because just when I was a kid and even a teenager in uni, it's like all I did was like play games, go to the gym when I was a teenager, play games. But then I've got a bit old, I didn't have as much time to play games and keep a hand in with games and stuff. I've actually been playing them a little bit more over the past maybe year and a half than what I had been. But I kind of just went through that phase where I wasn't really like getting time to play games as much as I was.
Yeah.
So the WWE games kind of just fizzled out for me a little bit. And I missed a couple and I'd get one. I missed a couple, I'd get one. So the last one I had was 2K18. 2K19 dropped in price. I was like, oh, I'll get that. And then it was kind of getting closer and closer to 2K20 coming out. So I was like, ah, oh, well, I might as well just wait for the new one. Mm-hmm. And in the previews, it was just getting slaughtered. And then the game came out.
It's still bad now.
It just seemed because they switched developers, I think it was, and the game was just kind of unfinished. So I don't actually know, like, has it been fixed yet? Has it been patched? Or
It's had loads of patches, but it's still bad. It's still glitches right. Like hell.
I've not played it. Yeah. I know when it first came out, it didn't get well reviewed.
It's a lot of shambles. It's hilariously fun, like, because of how crap and stupid it is. When you've got, like, wrestlers who are turning into, like, ring ropes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Halfway through a match.
When it first came out, it just
hilarious. People making YouTube videos will have had a field day with that, put it that way. You know what I mean? That's basically what the best thing to come out of it was, people's compilation videos of nonsense as a game, crap. I'll be honest, like, I was having to think about this and I thought, well, I need to avoid a wrestling game because it's so obvious for me, you know what I mean? It's my bread and butter, wrestling games. So I tried to think of something different and I thought, you know, it'd be meant to see you in Streets of Rage 4.
Right.
A brand new Streets of Rage game with you, Benji. And Rory for a laugh.
Streets of Rage. I always preferred Final Fight.
Fair enough.
And that's because when I was a kid, when arcades were still a thing, so in Hartlepool, which is obviously where I live, down Seaton, which is like our seafront, there used to be class arcades there, like absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I remember
Seaton Crew. Yeah, the arcades there were absolutely unreal. So there was this one. Very end called Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And that had like the old, so all the other arcades had like the newer games in it and there were more like modern games and things like that. But Las Vegas had basically every game was the most expensive game in there was 20 pence to play. Most were 10 pence, 20 pence was like, oh, that's a bit pricey for Las Vegas. But it was still cheap, it was 20 pence. And there had Final Fight in. So whenever we'd go down the arcade, it was my oldest brother would take me because he could drive and he was like banging the games as well. So we'd always go down to see them and we'd always end up in Las Vegas because it was obviously the cheapest one. Mm-hmm. So the amount of times that I would play Final Fight and on the arcade cabinet there, I just have so many memories of it. So for me, that's like when I think of that 2D beat 'em up side scroller, that's like my kind of like that's my game, my go to.
Fair enough, man. I mean, to be fair, you'd fit into a majority of them because if you chucked a loincloth on, you'd fit in Golden Axe and all that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Right, a bit more sort of down your path then. What's your favourite thing to like? What's your favourite type of exercise to do when you're in the gym? What's your favourite lift? What's your favourite whatever it may be?
Would probably be either a deadlift or a squat. I'd be hard pressed to choose between the two, but probably a deadlift or a squat is my kind of favourite. That's not to say I always deadlift and I always squat, depending on what my routine is at the time and what I'm trying to focus on and things like that. But
Is it because you feel that you're good at them? Is that why you would go for that? Is it because you feel like that's where your strength lies and you feel get in?
I was younger, like when I first started training seriously in the gym, so like as a teenager, the gym I trained at the time had like a class squat rack, but didn't have very good leg machines.
Right.
So from a young age, my leg training was back squats, front squats, straight leg deadlift, which is all like barbell based.
Yeah.
Then like a leg extension and like a crap leg press machine, which was just like a pin loaded one. So I'd literally max the machine up because it wasn't very heavy, and just pump like just bare my legs out to finish off with because there was no weight on it. But they had plenty of weight around the squat rack. So from a young age, I was like squatting 3.5-4 plates, deadlifting. Worked up to like a 1 rep max at quite a young age of 5, like 5 plates of size. So I think because my training started, so when I was younger as well, my training was more powerlifting based as opposed to bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. So I just really enjoy them. Like, there's nothing worse than going to train legs because it's such a brutal, if you train legs properly, it's such a brutal workout and you're absolutely goose.
Yeah.
But there's something satisfying in feeling like you're about to pass out when you know you've finished your last set. And you literally feel like someone's just poured a bucket of water over your back, you're sweating that much. You feel like you're struggling to even walk. It's just so satisfying. All right, I've just had, like, absolutely had like a mint leg workout.
Pretty endorphin release, isn't it?
Just yeah, it's just mental. It's kind of like if you don't get to that point and you're leaving the gym, I'm kind of like, well, that was a bit of a shit workout.
Yeah, there's nothing
but those things as well, I think, with my legs, especially my quads. From a young age, it was like they developed fairly quickly, so I had big legs, like, quite young, and you know, after not much training, my legs kind of grew. Whereas my upper body's like, in comparison, I always feel like my upper body lags behind my legs, but in particular my quads. So it's probably a combination of training them hard, but seeing good results from them. So it's plus it's just a really good exercise. Squats and deadlifts are really good exercises anyway.
Cool, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. So next question then. If you could go on Table for Three, you know, the WWE Network program where you get legends and modern wrestlers, who three people get together and have a bit of scran and talk about wrestling from days gone by. So if Shreddy could go on Table for Three with two other wrestlers, there can be anybody in the world. There can be people you wrestle with, people that you watched growing up to talk about wrestling. It could be any mix of whatever you want. Who would you go on a Table for Three with, and what would you have for your dinner?
So dinner would probably be some kind of chicken and rice variation.
You stick to your guns.
So in terms of what I'd go on with, so I think being on with Cornette would be funny as fuck.
Yeah.
And it would. I imagine, just because of how mental I could imagine him being, Steiner.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner.
I don't need to ask which one. Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah,
I think that would be pretty good, a pretty good combo.
It would indeed. That would be awesome. That would be a fun. Yeah, Scott. I mean, unfortunately, you know, as with everything that's been postponed at the moment, for the love of wrestling, the big wrestling convention that happens down in Liverpool, it was going to be, the second one was going to be in April this year, and then both Scott and Rick were going to be there.
Yeah, that's
so, advertised.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit. It's now been postponed. They've got a new date for it being at the end of October, the weekend of the end of October. So we'll be chatting more about that on the pod as time comes on, because we're going to be doing some competitions to give away some tickets and things for it. But man, I can't wait to meet Scott, man. I cannot wait. Well, both of them, but especially Scott.
He's been a dream match.
Oh god,
he's booked at North, Shreddy versus Steiner.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Well, I remember it wasn't that long ago you posted that thing about being the third Steiner brother. Oh man,
yeah.
It just looked apart as well because of the colours you're wearing and stuff.
Yeah,
man. Sweet, absolutely brilliant. And final question from myself, it's a bit of an open, biggie question. So again, go back to as long as you want. It could have been one that you saw at the time live, it could have been one that you've attended, it could have been one that was before your time, or maybe still to come. What's your favourite wrestling pay-per-view of all time?
Favourite wrestling pay-per-view of all time would be Mania 17, which I think, you know, it seems almost cliche, but that is my favourite.
It's a beast. It's an absolute beast.
Yeah, absolutely unreal. Mania 17. Like, Mania 17 is my favourite.
Any standouts from that card that you think, oh, that's the one that's been, it's, you know, it's always going to be in your top, you know, three matches of all time? Anything?
Rock and Austin. Rock and Austin, I was watching, there was a group chat. We were kind of watching, like, we were watching it, but we all had a group chat. We all pressed play at the same time. And we were watching it. And this was going back probably like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yes.
And we were like, I don't know how long we were 11 minutes in or 12 minutes or something like that. And we were like, they've literally done no like wrestling yet, but it was absolutely class. It was just a brawl. And it's just because obviously it's Rock and Austin. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So absolutely love that. That's probably like my favourite. I always have good memories of the Rumble in 2001, which was like the mental hardcore Rumble, because when I was a kid, like that age, my brother used to watch wrestling as well, like my older brother, so he was still into it. So like I look very fondly back at like 2000, like 90, I say 97 is when I got into it, but I always look back very fondly at like probably late 98 to kind of like after the invasion kind of time to the brand split, because that's when my brother was also a wrestling fan, so it's like we'd watch together, we'd play the games together kind of thing. So even stuff that was garbage then, I look back quite fondly on. So,
yeah, you can't help it, can you? I mean, this is the thing. Me and my brother were like, we were more, when we watched together, because he's a couple of years younger than me, but when we watched together, it was more like, you know, 89, 90 up till about sort of 97-ish, I want to say, and then I just went out and, you know, start getting drunk and stuff like that, you know.
That's kind of what my brother was like, because my brother's a lot older than me.
Right.
And I remember on a Friday night, we'd get, so Sky Sports used to show Raw on a Friday night.
Yeah.
There'd be times where he'd cut his nights short from a night out to get up and watch it the last hour of Raw. Like, what's that? So I always remember the one where Mankind had been fired, Mick Foley had been fired. It was in 2000, on the run up to Mania 2000.
Yeah.
And he came back as Cactus Jack. And we were watching that and it was like, oh, Cactus Jack is back. It was just class, like just little things like that.
Yeah, man.
That was probably the best time in wrestling as well, between like what's considered like the Attitude Era was considered typically like the best time for wrestling, the boom periods. But it does help that it was a really good time anyway. But the fact that like I had those memories with my brother as well, which is always good.
Damn right, and it was a perfect timing for us because of our age as well, so that kind of R-rated, you know, appeal was massively in fashion for our age range anyway, you know.
Yeah.
I'm one of them weirdos who really likes 1993, 1994, 1995, that everybody else tries to forget. that's my years, those ones.
it's whatever you know as a kid or whatever.
That's exactly it. I remember just playing with me Hasbros every day, me wrestling figures every day, me and my brother. It's one of them, isn't it? Completely, mate. Completely.
Look at so many WWE stars, they look back, and like when they get interviewed, like, all right, who was like, it's kind of like the wrestlers who were like, I don't know, maybe you go back 10 years ago, maybe it's just over, who were big at the time. You'll go back and you see them on interviews, and like, who was your favourite? And it was like, oh, Warrior.
Yeah.
Warrior isn't considered a good wrestler.
Exactly.
He, just the character, the like everything about him as a kid, it's, oh, I love him.
It's difficult not to. Yeah,
it's what you loved when you were a kid.
It's funny because like the sort of the generation of wrestlers now, you know, you do hear a bit about now and again. You just hear people sort of saying, "Oh, they're just fans that have become wrestlers over the years." And it's like, yeah, but then if you hear Austin speaking that, he speaks really highly of people of his generation. Buddy Rose and people like that, he speaks very highly of that preview of that sort of 70s and 80s kind of lineage of wrestlers. So it's the same thing. It's just it's different exposure, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, you don't have to be a wrestling fan to get into wrestling, obviously. There's like athletes who get signed and they weren't fans growing up. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the majority of wrestlers are wrestling fans or were wrestling fans. Yeah. Otherwise, why would you get into us?
That's where the passion comes from at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course it is.
Damn right. Well, nice one, man. Cheers, friends, for those for us.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for asking.
Cool. So this is where I usually ask, where can people see you in the near future? But
you can see me on Instagram, you can see me on Twitter, and you can see me if you come and sit outside my house. But other than that, you can't see me at all.
So have you got any plans to keep you and your fans entertained during this lockdown?
So it's just the usual shit that I put on, to be honest. Post on Instagram, Twitter. You know,
have you got your tags there, mate? Do you want to shout your tags out?
It's Shreddy Breck Jim on Twitter, Shreddy Breck Jim on Instagram, and Shreddy Breck LOL, so Shreddy Breck LOL on Facebook. Instagram is where I'm most active on.
Yeah.
Twitter, like, I'll post things on there, but I'm not really, like, I don't know, I've never really been into Twitter that much, to be honest. And Facebook is just pretty much a recycle of what gets put on Instagram, because the two accounts are linked.
Yeah.
So Instagram or Twitter is probably the best to follow me on, but mainly Instagram.
Sweet, man. Good stuff.
So I'll put all links in the description below the interview, so I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, spot on. It's been absolutely class.
Excellent stuff.